Before we get to this week's feedback show, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors today. Those are our friends over at True Car, who have some tips that you might not be aware of, like how a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean the interior of your car. They also say that removing the excess weight from your car can improve its gas mileage. That makes sense. And then the controversial one about holding your keychain fob right underneath your chin. I've heard from different people that you need to actually have it touching your chin to make this trick work, but let me know if that's working for you. But here's another tip that you might not be aware about, how True Car helps people get a used car too. That's right. True Car isn't just for buying a new car. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll get the real pricing and the actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with True Car, you can see what other people paid, so you know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. And True Car users are also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience when they connect with a True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out True Car and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who gets bitch slapped by Survivor every single week. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Very excited to be back here with a great guest here in the studio. Please welcome from season 35, the great Rourke Luskin. Rourke, how are you?
Woohoo! I'm doing very well. Yes. Thank you so much for having your 25th HHHer on.
Oh, please. People are way too busy being focused on season 33 to think about how many people I've had from season 35.
I know. And I actually have a theory about that, that Millennials Gen X was a really beloved season. And so now there's like that backlash.
Oh, the backlash.
But we can't have a backlash when you don't have the front lash.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's a fair point. And look, I love the season 33 cast, and I'm also especially fond of the season 35 cast.
Thank you.
Yeah. So season 34 is fine.
Yeah.
They're fine. To be honest, I have a hard enough time that the new player seasons are happy to come on and talk to me. And I feel like that these returning players are like, I'm over it.
Well, we're not bitter yet.
We're not bitter yet. So that's why, you know, I like to spend my time talking to the people that have some enthusiasm about what we're talking about.
I'm fired up.
And here we are. And why should we not be fired up here after a exciting episode this week where we had this twist, Rourke, where we divided the tribes into two, did stuff that we never did before. So a lot to talk about here on the feedback show.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah. It's a bummer that, you know, you've said it already. It's a bummer how kind of the tribe spun out so that I feel like the boots were pretty predictable from the combination of the preview from the week before, plus just the makeup of the two sets of five. But still, fun concept.
Fun idea.
Try it again.
So we've got a lot to talk about, but excited to have you here in the studio and glad we were able to work this out. I saw on social media that you, outside of Survivor, not that that's, at all the entirety of your existence, but
my fifth boot was my peak.
Yes. So no, but that you were involved in a very dramatic rescue this past week.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I wasn't that integral. I was just sort of supporting the situation. Mm-hmm. So I live in like a bungalow type situation. It's like a very LA thing where you sort of like live in a bungalow behind a bigger house. And I heard this screaming and there is a family with kids. And so at first, and they're very rambunctious. And so at first I was like, oh, it's just kids playing. And then it sort of continued and it sounded distressed. And so I went outside and I sort of thought better of it. I was like, I could be walking into a really bad situation. Like, this is probably not a great idea, but I did it anyway. And there was a homeless man and two male neighbors. And I specifically, you know, you never want to just add to the fray. And so I specifically said, like, are you guys good or should I stay? And they said, no, please stay. Mm-hmm. So the woman, we figured out, only spoke Farsi pretty much.
Okay.
And yet, but she would yell out something sometimes. She'd yell out like, pain and why? And then,
oh my God.
Yeah. And so the homeless man had a phone, brought it out, called 911. And like, he and I kind of collaborated to triangulate where we were. I got down and just kind of sat next to her and got her to like keep her legs still.
Why was the homeless guy there?
he happened to be in the alley. Like, he saw her fall.
Okay.
And so he just kind of stayed.
Yeah.
And she was a little afraid of him at first. Mm-hmm. And one of the phrases she yelled out successfully was, "He's a homeless." He's a homeless.
Yeah, but I think that in fairness to the homeless guy, I think that if you're homeless with a cell phone, I feel like you're one of the good ones.
Yeah. Well, and one of my neighbors was like
it's
he's
okay.
Helpful.
I have a phone. I have a phone.
Exactly. They were like, he's a good man. He's
no
helping
home,
you.
But I have a phone. So.
Exactly.
That's something.
More than something.
I'm holding it down enough to own a phone.
Yeah. I watch a lot of Live PD.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if
Live PD? Is that a show?
Yes. Live PD is an amazing television program where you follow. It's cops.
Okay.
And so I'm now like very well versed in the electrical accoutrement that homeless individuals can own.
Yes. Why? What else do you find a lot of homeless people have?
A lot of external chargers, like a lot of
cable,
batteries.
Yeah. Okay. And where do I watch Live PD?
A&E.
Yeah. Okay. And then they're just following around what's going on. And
yeah, it focuses on like 9 counties across mm-hmm. The states. Nevada, Arizona, and Florida are like really where mm-hmm. it's at. There's some stuff. There's some good stuff in El Paso sometimes.
A lot of meth stuff going on.
Usually it's there's great like DUI stuff. Everyone's only ever had 4 beers. Mm-hmm. A man had literally rolled his car into a ditch mm-hmm. and they were like, "Sir, can you please climb out?" And he's like, "Yeah, but I'm not drunk. Just so you know, I'm not drunk."
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, "Okay, sir, we're still going to have you do the field sobriety for us." And he goes, "I would fail this at any time. I have one leg shorter than the other."
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're
like, check out?
No. They're like, okay, sir, we're still going to have you do it. They're like, please stand on your better leg. You can choose for 30 seconds. He makes it maybe 2 and like topples over and rolls back down the ditch. It's excellent.
Now, you are really, I think, becoming famous for how the amount of the volume of shows that you watch, maybe outside of Eric Stein. I don't know who's watching more reality TV than you. I know your big one. You don't watch Big Brother.
True.
But basically anything else with reality show.
No,
people.
Really. It's my life is just like a harrowing tale of someone who consumes too much reality
but
television.
But you read a lot. So how do you have time to do all of that?
That's a really good question. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I like my life is very, very full. My life is very busy. That's a very fair question. I don't know. I listen to a lot of audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually. I actively dislike music.
Yeah.
You
dislike music because I get accused often of that I don't like music. I'm fine with music.
Mm-hmm.
To me, music is a Wiggler's Wombat's hat. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. I'm not mad at it. But I mean, what am I doing with that much music?
Right.
I'm not going to dance.
No, definitely not. To me, music is background noise to something else, either visual stimuli, mm-hmm. like a movie or like it's as a score or like to me, music is not content.
Mm-hmm.
And like I get it. Fine. It's an art form, but it's just not one that I want to consume.
Yeah.
Like I can't sit there and listen to music. Like I need to be doing something with my hands or my eyes.
Wow. Okay, I never heard it articulated that way before.
And so I listen to a lot of...
I think I'm on board with that.
In LA, we drive a lot. I listen to a lot of audiobooks.
Okay. All right. So, and then your neighbor is fine now?
So she is not my neighbor. I'm not sure about her.
Okay.
But she was... The EMTs came. They were like, "We've got it from here. Thank you, everyone."
So who was she? Was just a woman in the alley?
Yeah.
Okay.
She ended up giving her food to the homeless man. That was nice.
Okay.
She had like groceries.
Well, that she is, so she had... It's probably like, this is more trouble for me to get this home at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Assuming it all checked out.
Okay. And now they're dating?
Yes.
They've fallen in love? That was the ultimate meet
cute. It was a meet cute. Yeah.
and the meat was the literal poultry that she had in her grocery bag.
Exactly. It was an M-E-A-T.
I wanted to ask you, I know you have a background in psychology. You are a psychologist.
No.
A social worker. Yeah.
I'm a social worker, but there are a lot of misconceptions about what a social worker is. And
so you can't analyze the Martin Sheen dream for me?
Okay. I also, this is another thing I hate. I really hate when people tell me their dreams.
Yes.
Like, I think dream discussion is really boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could not care less. The only thing that is worse is when somebody starts a dream and then it reminds somebody of their dream and they like interrupt them with a new dream. But no, dreams are just like your memories mm-hmm. reconsolidating essentially.
Right.
And so it's a priming effect, either something somebody said reminded you of something. And then also it's like your emotional processing of like how you're feeling. And so if you really want to analyze a dream, think about what was the underlying emotion. Was it anxiety? Was it happiness? You know, that's just kind of what you're going through right now.
Mm-hmm. And then Martin Sheen is that if somebody is on Survivor and has a dream about Martin Sheen and mm-hmm. like, let's say like, I had this dream about Martin Sheen and basically Martin Sheen is disparaged in some way. Can Martin Sheen sue for defamation of character for what somebody did in their dream? Like, I had this dream that Martin Sheen was like burning the American flag and, saying down with the government. Could Martin Sheen have a legal reason to be upset?
Well, Rob, I start law school in August.
Okay.
And so I'll be able to analyze the dream and then let you know what the legal ramifications of the dream are.
I want to know, can somebody sue or are dreams covered under the First Amendment? Because
dreams might be fair use.
That's fair use.
Yeah.
The likeness of myself is able to be used. Anybody can just dream whatever they want about me.
I think so.
Okay. And then how come when Nicole dreams about me and I do something bad in her dream, I actually get in trouble? Is that the same thing?
Ooh, that's trickier. That's trickier. Because then if then she's like acting on like a ghost Rob.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me get into a email that I have for you, Rourke.
Great.
And this is an email from Natty, who wants to know, Rourke, do you have any more brilliant strategies or plays similar to the one you laid out during your interview in last season's First One Out? And the background here, Natty gives, is that Rourke laid out a way for a three-person alliance to play around a possible idol in the Final Five, assuming Game Changers' tiebreak rules were still in effect, which they were not. Maybe she has more ideas, maybe related to tribal councils in which one person does not have a vote. Nothing. That was it. You peaked with that?
Oh, man. I mean, the thing is, so I want to talking about something like a little bit larger in terms of my consumption of this season is that, you know, I'm sure you can relate that like after being on it, it's hard to view it in the same way. And also it's like quite fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that like I'm consuming it in both a deep way because I've seen every episode mm-hmm. twice because I want to like do my rankings well. I want to, you know,
with Gordon Holmes.
Yeah, I want to.
Not Sherlock Holmes.
True. I want to, you know, be contributing and have it be good content.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also am consuming it in sort of like a shallower way where I'm not letting myself like go into the strategy rabbit mm-hmm. holes too far. Just because I think like that's where you get in your head about stuff.
So you were a longtime fan going out on the show mm-hmm. and you would think about an idea of, okay, in this Final Five version and okay, this is what you could do if you had a three-person alliance. Do you find after playing the show that there was some sort of a misconception on your part where you were thinking about things in the way that like a fan would think of it, but not in a practical way that would apply to somebody who actually was in that situation in the game based on the complicated relationships you would have at that point?
Yes and no. I think that, so I was, sorry, to answer her question, like really briefly, is the only interesting thing I've thought about is the idea of sharing with your group that you mm-hmm. don't have a vote.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey guys, just so you know, we're in a bad situation here. Like we got to cover for that fact.
Yeah. And
like,
Lauren remembered to do that with Ben last season when she did not have a vote, right?
Right. Yeah. And so that's sort of potentially the only interesting thing that they could show about the mm-hmm. no vote. But so in terms of like being there, I will say like I had a lot of thoughts of things that like, you know, my head was like stuffed very full of tidbits and hints and helpful facts or whatever from listening to you and, you know, over the years.
Was it helpful?
Well, you know, it was. And my problem, like the thing, you know, I saw on Twitter, somebody responded like, is there like thinking back now, is there anything you could have done in that new SoCo swap? And mm-hmm. I firmly believe the answer is no,
mm-hmm.
but I think I could have done a better job at acting on my instincts. And so I think I shared this with you in our exit press that like Ryan, even though he always talked about being so close with me and Allie, slept with Chrissy and JP. And in my head, I was like, that's weird. Like, I think that's a thing. Like, I'm not supposed to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't do anything with it. And then Chrissy came up to me and said, I know you're gunning for me. And the only way she could have known that is if Ryan told her. And, you know, like, there was stuff that intellectually I should have known and coulda, woulda, shoulda, 2020 hindsight, all of it. You know, I'm not going to beat myself up. But, But yeah, it's like, you know the facts, but I didn't trust my instincts.
Well, it's the kind of thing where when you look back after the fact, and, you know, I have a similar experience with Survivor All-Stars when I think back to that and I say like, oh yeah, that didn't make sense when that happened. But yeah. I just kind of told myself like, eh, it's nothing.
Yeah.
And then once you see sort of like the light, like, okay.
Exactly.
That's why they were, you know, so what are you going to do?
One of my favorite psychological principles that is like of cognitive psychology, and Jessica actually referenced it when she talked to you, because we were talking about like immunity idols and tribal versus showing up with the necklace, or hidden idols. Sorry. And the principle, like very briefly, is what you see is all there is. And so what you can kind of tell a story to yourself about is all that there is. It takes a tremendous amount of cognitive effort to like do the mental research to fill in blanks. And so we typically don't do it. It's why when somebody cuts you off in traffic, you just say like, F that guy. You don't say like, wow, maybe they're in a rush.
Right.
Like that person must be going through something. It takes a lot to get there, but it doesn't take really anything to kind of just blame them. And so it takes a lot to tell yourself a story about what it was like for Chrissy to win an immunity challenge. It takes nothing to watch Ben in front of you on the jury play an idol. And so like, that's, you know, that's really different. And then when people are telling you a story, you naturally want to craft a larger narrative of like what fits in. So like, here's how I can make this fit into what I already believe. And so, yeah, there's like a big issue of that as well.
I want to start to bring in some voicemails, and I want to play you this question. This is from Steph B, and she wants to talk about an alternate way they could have done this tribal divide this week that might have borne more fruit.
Hey, Rob and York, this is Steph Barilero. I have an alternate idea for how the two tribal twists should have worked this week. I think they should have played the immunity challenge with everybody as one big group, down to two immunity winners, and then let those winners do a schoolyard pick of who would be in each tribal council. I think it would have been fun, because you could have kind of gotten a flavor for who was targeting who, and there might have just been a little more drama and a little more of a heated split. I'd love to hear your thoughts about that or any other alternative ways you would have done that twist. Thanks. Love you, Bay.
Yes, love you, Bay. Thank you, Stephanie. And so, Rourke, this is, I think, an interesting thought where we had, okay, let's draw for tribes. And then we sort of came back and we had that split where it was, you know, I've sort of been joking around about like sort of the five people we care about and then five the other five people, with all due respect to Donathan. And so that was just how it went. It was a terrible draw for Michael. What about this idea of if the, you know, everybody would have played for immunity and then the two immunity necklace winners, the two last people left, would have then played where they were the captains and the person who ultimately wins, they get first pick. And now they will go back and forth and then pick out the other four people that will accompany them to tribal council.
I totally thought of this as well as a potential. And then I think if you play it out, I kind of wonder how. So like, just for some stability of playing this out, should we say that like Dom and Chelsea are the people who win?
Then now would Dominic or Wendell throw the competition when it got down to, so the last three were Dominic, Wendell, and Chelsea. Now I think that now we're injecting some strategy of, do Dominic and Wendell want to try to manufacture a way for them to be at the same tribal council, or do they want to have influence on each of the tribal councils? So I think you have that element, which I think would be fun to play with.
Yep.
But we could do it either way.
So, I mean, I think if then Wendell, so an advantage of Wendell going out so that he and Dominic don't necessarily end up on the same tribal is that he does have a hit. He has an immunity idol of his own.
And what I like so much about this idea of splitting into the two teams of five is that it really encourages a lot of people to empty out their idols here at Final 10. So where we have two tribal councils of five and so many idols and advantages in the game, you know, we saw two get played this week, but I think that you could have had a scenario where maybe three or four idols come out at this final 10.
Agreed. I wonder if that's what they wanted.
Like a reset.
Yeah. I wonder if that's what they wanted. Just be to they're like, great, let's like keep the injection going. Cause like, I wonder how big the prop closet is this stuff.
They have a lot, especially here on Ghost Island.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that it really would have been interesting. And then you also inject a little bit of the old pecking order challenge to it of, okay, oh, wait, why didn't I get picked? Why, you know, why did you leave me to go to the other tribal council? You know, does Dominic want Wendell to stay with him? Does he want him to go to the other one? Do you draft somebody early that you want to vote out? Do you sort of like end up just like try to protect all of your allies? I think it would be a very interesting, if they ever did this again, I think I would like to see there be more strategy to it. I watched the first episode of Survivor New Zealand, not to spoil anything that's past the first 10 minutes of the show, but they did a challenge and they did like an opening challenge and they didn't tell people what the prize was for, like, okay, if you whoever wins, they get a thing. And I forget if it was one person or two people got to get a thing. I think it was one person got to get a prize and they picked another person that they got to share it with. And then the prize turned out to be, you guys get to draft the tribes. And so I like this idea of, you know, awarding something and then also that then you get to decide who's going where.
That, so that a version of that was also done on this season of the challenge, the Vendettas season, where they earned essentially a reward where then they could apply it to pick the teams.
Yeah.
And you really saw that where it's like, are you just going to try and win the challenge and stack like all these people that are going to be beasts on your team? Or are you going to try and stack it so that like the votes will split in your favor to send them into the elimination challenge? And so, yeah, that's I feel like just Survivor has that. This is probably just me guessing, but like, I feel like Survivor has that sort of like, I don't know if it's like a thing on their shoulder or like that feeling of sort of hoofbeats coming behind them of the Gabon team pick 'em.
Yes.
And like they're
afraid of it. But this is just one tribal. And then you really have the opportunity. Now, if you're Michael and you win immunity and now like and you could draft your group, and then I would imagine that he would try to draft all the Malolo and then get to the point where he could have three Malolo potentially on his side. And I like that it also.
The thing is, though, Rob, think about that, because if he does, Michael wins, it's five people. Mm-hmm. He takes Donathan, Laurel, Jenna. And his goal was to blindside Wendell. He's losing still.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, but he has the necklace. Jenna would still go.
Yeah, yeah.
Jenna would go.
But it would give him a shot. It would give him more. Give him more a shot. And I also think
he would have made it one more round.
Right. Also, your social game to that point, I think, also like sort of like works in your favor, where, you know, how much would people try to protect you? How much would people try to engineer? So I like that idea.
No, I do.
As a twist, if they did that again. Okay. All right. So the survivors, they were thrown for a loop this week. I referenced it at the beginning of the show, but Donathan did say this.
Survivor bitch slap this day.
Yeah, so this maybe that would be more or less of a bitch slap for the survivors if they did that.
I think it depends which survivor you are.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the events of that tribal council. And let me bring in this question. This is from Matt in Sydney. Wants to talk about the whispering between Dominic and Wendell.
Hi, Robin Rourke. It's Matt Noble here from Sydney, Australia. And I had a thought as to what Dom may have whispered into Wendell's ear at Tribal, because Wendell did seem quite concerned at the prospect of Michael playing an idol and was tempted to vote Kellen, but Dom was pretty confident in his read and wanted Wendell to stick to the Michael plan. So I'm wondering if, to convince him to do that, he whispered in Wendell's ear that in the event that I'm wrong and Michael plays an idol, I will then use mine to save Laurel. Just wondering what your thoughts might be on that. Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Rourke, what do you make of our lost in translation moment here between Dominic and Wendell, that we saw them whisper to one another? We never found out what they said. We may have to wait until we get to Dominic and Wendell doing the exit press, if we can remember that question, if they go that far into the game. Do you think that they said anything? Was this sort of just like the Omaha, Omaha of basically trying to make Michael think something is up? What do you think?
I think it could, I mean, it could be any of those. And I realize that's sort of like a, you know, BS answer, but I think that it could have just been like,
yes,
you
yes.
know, just, you know, just sort of like filling time. I think though,
but
that
to what end? Why?
To make Michael feel a little bit more comfortable so that if he did have an idol, maybe he wouldn't play it. You know, maybe, I don't know. I think that though, I think that as a viewer, what we can feel solid in is that if it was important to the story, it would have been subtitled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I have to believe that.
You know what I would do if I was on Survivor, if I ever played again and I didn't have an idol and I wanted people to not vote for me? I would go around telling people, hey, I do not have an idol, anybody. All right. Callan, I just want to pull you aside. Just so you know, I don't have an idol.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idol.
Yeah.
I don't know why everybody keeps saying that I do, but I don't. I have no idol. Like, boy, Rob is really trying to tell people he's got no idol.
Yeah. Like, I like that. That's fun.
I don't think I would go around if I didn't have an idol, tell people I had an idol, tell people I don't have an idol. So why does he keep telling us he doesn't have an idol?
I like that. That's like a reverse psychology move.
Yes. Yeah. So you get in the heads of these players. That's what Michael should have done. Do you think, is it possible that Matt's theory, which was, does Dominic say to Wendell here, trust me, I got this. If he plays an idol, I'll play mine on Laurel. We got this.
Yeah. I mean, that certainly could be as well, because that would be smart. You know, if you see Michael make the move to get up, like, you can make a move to get up as well.
Yeah, I feel like that would be an inspired idea to have at that moment. I just feel like that he pulled him aside and said, he's got nothing. He's bluffing.
Yeah, stay strong. We got this.
We got this. Yeah. Don't worry about it. So that's what I think. But to the point that they really alienated Kellen, I felt like, in that moment. I think that was the thing that, if I'm Kellen and I walk away from that tribal council, I feel like that's the thing I'm the most upset about.
Is Kellen's not with them though? And so,
I mean, she's part of Naviti.
I think though, when she says Naviti, she's like talking about the girls.
I think that is her ultimate end game. But I think that her plan, if I had to sort of like read between the lines, is okay, get rid of all the Malolo people. Then we get rid of Dominic and Wendell. Then I go to the end with Seabass and Angela and Chelsea. And then I win.
Okay, yeah, I see that.
You know, and so I think she's been very aggressive in trying to protect that these last couple episodes, where when it wasn't voting, when it, all of a sudden it was voting out Desiree instead of Michael, she's like, hey, what the hell?
But they voted out, they voted for Angela when Morgan got voted out.
Mm-hmm.
They voted out Desiree, they voted out Noble. Like, where's the evidence that they believe in Naviti in any way?
Well, I think that she believes in her group of pawns that she wants to get to. Like, that's her, like, you know, and we're just not seeing where we see a lot of, like, Donathan and Wendell talk about R4. We haven't really seen Kellen in confessional. They haven't given us, like, my four of me, Seabass, Chelsea. We're going to the end. We're, you know, we're running the table with Angela. And then we'll vote out Angela at four. And I'm going to the final three with Seabass and Chelsea.
That'd be a great final three for her.
Yeah, she's looking really good there.
I would love to see Seabass in a final three.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
He would be great in the final three. I mean,
a Seabass, Noble, Dominic final three. I just want to see that verbally.
Yeah. Seabass this week, everybody caught last week where he talked about how, you know, when he doesn't need any food because when you're this high, you don't need any food. That's what he had to say.
My understanding is when you're high, you want a lot of food.
I've heard it the opposite. But this was a quote from Seabass at this week's tribal council that I think has gone under the radar.
Yeah, that's very interesting that she said that. You know, you want to fight to stay in this game, and that's a very blunt statement to make right off the bat.
A very blunt statement to make, Rourke.
They're doing a really nice job with the double entendres with Seabass.
Okay, let me ask you this question. This is from Brandon, who says, do you think that when Kellen voted, the other players thought she voted for Michael and then crossed it out instead of Michaela's extra vote? Tough to read it upside down and they look similar. What's with the players just putting a single line through the vote to cough, cough, Aubrey Bracco? So she, it was interesting that she had that Michaela vote. She turned it upside down and then crossed it out and then like tiny letters wrote Laurel. Do you think the other players thought that she had Michael and then crossed it out and then wrote Laurel? Because that would like sort of like make some sense in terms of.
And then also like decorated the edges with like fleur-de-lis. Like, no, there's no way.
So you think she has to come back and come clean? Like, I went to Ghost Island. I got Michaela's vote. I had to, you know, this was the last night I could use it. I had to do it today.
I also think that the, unfortunately for Kellen, Laurel, Wendell, and Dom are all really big fans. And so I think they're people who are going to notice those details, you know, whether or not they know it's Michaela's stolen vote, you know, like it isn't here nor there, but like, I think they will notice that difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you think that she will have to spill that it was Michaela and wasn't that she voted for Michael and then crossed it out?
I think she can probably just say, I got an extra vote mm-hmm. from Ghost Island and here's the story, mm-hmm. you know, but I don't know that she needs to tell the full story of how Michaela
okay.
was involved in it.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about Kellen. And this is a tweet that we got from Savannah Campbell at Sangmin's Ghost on Twitter. This is Sangmin's Ghost. Is Kellen's game a glimpse at how Rourke would have played if she lasted longer in the game? Do you look at Kellen as you are shaking your head no violently?
Wow. Blowing out my spot. No, I was going to say, like, it's, you know, looking in a crystal ball. But no, I don't think it's how I would have done things, because as evidenced by how things went post merge, strategically, the healers were a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think trying to keep them together would have been like herding cats.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that. It's funny, you know, because
you were the glue that they say that Tyson was sort of the person that was keeping all of the villains linked together. And then once Tyson got pulled apart from them, they completely fell apart.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone of your listeners, whether it's your fact checker or
yes.
someone else, is probably going to skewer me for this. But I'm pretty sure it was the Desi vote where like every single one of the healers voted for someone different.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they had gotten on the same page, I think it would have been fine. You know, there was one vote like that where everyone just went in a different direction. And so I think I would have, you know, returned to a few of them, not all. And, you know, I was actually really looking forward to moving forward with Ryan. He was less excited about me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you think that there are any similarities between what you would have done and how Kellen has played? Is empathy your superpower?
I mean, I'm an empathetic person, very much so, mm-hmm. because it's a part of my job description. But I think that I think I'm more like irreverent mm-hmm. than Kellen. I'm a little bit more sarcastic. I have a little bit more of an edge. Mm-hmm. I think she's sort of a softer person than me. I'm a little bit edgier.
Okay.
And I don't mean like cool and hip. I'm definitely not that.
Yes.
I mean like I'm a little harsh.
Okay. Let me play this question. This is from Kieran from Maryland, wants to talk some more about Kellen.
Hey, Robin Rourke. It's Kieran from Maryland. I want to discuss about Kellen's bad strategy of staying Navidi strong. Since the swap, Kellen has said Navidi strong. She said it at least 1,000 times. She's clearly playing safe. I understand you have to play safe on certain occasions, but at some point you got to make a move. You got to take risks. Kellen's not taking any risks. She just wants to stick to the plan. I mean, you can't expect that kind of a strategy to work in a season like this where idols and advantages are floating all over the place. Rourke, my question to you is, do you think Kellen's stick-to-the-plan strategy is going to backfire?
I mean, has Kellen said Navidi strong 1,000 times?
And that's how I'll get to the end of the game, by saying Navidi strong.
I don't think it's been 1,000. I don't think it's been 1,000. Way less than 1,000.
1,002.
Okay. But I've seen this a lot on social media
yeah.
of Kellen is playing too boring. She's got to make a move. Is that a fair criticism of Kellen?
I don't think it is, because I actually disagree with one of the premises of his argument, which is that because of the type of season, you need to be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think it's the opposite. I think producers are of the mind that throwing in a ton of advantages, idols, twists makes things really random.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think it really calcifies things.
Yes.
And makes them like pretty static, because you have to find something to count on. And therefore you're going to find people to count on. And so I think that's why, like, you could make the same argument about Laurel, Wendell, Donathan, and Dominic right now. That, like, they are, they're strong. It happens to be a mixed tribe alliance, but that's a four-man strong squad right now. And, like, is that a boring game? Maybe. But, like, I think that you just need to, you need to find, like, a constant. And the, there's, like, they never know, like, the, they don't know, like, it's a, Ghost Island is like a gumball machine where it's like, you don't know, like, what color it's going to spit out. Like, you've got, you know, this, it, you just have no idea what's going to come out of it. And so, like, you have to, you just have to find something to count on, and they're making that people. And so, you know, my reaction to this season is that it's not great, but it's not the cast, it's not the people's fault. I think they're in a bad, they got let loose in a bad playground.
So, spooky playground. The story of Kellen, I think, is an interesting one. And we don't have, like, the last couple chapters of the book yet. But she came into the game and was, I think, shown in portrayed in a very positive light, where she was shown as the person that was going to go with her gut. She was conservative to the point where she went to Ghost Island the first time, didn't even risk her vote at Ghost Island, and didn't even play the game. I think she was the only person this season that had that opportunity to get an advantage, and she actually passed. Then later on in the game, she went back again and then did get the advantage. But now, to the point where she is, you know, really continued to stick to her gut, which has sort of, like, kept her on board the conservative path of keeping with her original group, to the point then this week, I don't even know if you would call it conservative what she was trying to do, where she was going after Laurel. Like, she was aggressive in trying to preserve the original group of Naviti, that, to the point where she made a risky play to preserve Naviti strong, and it ended up backfiring on her.
Yeah. And I mean, even if she had just split her votes between, you know, like, said, like, all right, let's see if Michael's
one on Michael, one on Laurel,
or even one on Wendell, because that was, like, the agreement between her and Michael, is my understanding.
Well, I don't think that she ever agreed that Michael told her, I'm voting for Wendell. If she put her two votes on Wendell, she would have blindsided Wendell.
If but she obviously didn't want to.
You know, again, I'm not exactly sure why she was so afraid in terms of this vote, where, unless that Michael was telling her that Laurel is going to vote for you, and then if Michael wasn't voting, unless she was afraid that Michael was lying to her, and that there was going to be a Michael and Laurel vote on her, and she was just trying to protect herself in the ultimate worst case, where there was two votes against Kellen, and then she'd be safe on the tiebreaker in that scenario. But it seems like a very risky move to make to protect against the ultimate worst case scenario.
I'm going to agree with everything you just said, because I, like, forgot the beginning of the sentence by the time you finished it.
Was I too confusing?
No, it's not your fault. Yes. It's that, it's just, like, the raw numbers of it all are, like, I feel like that meme of Zach Galifianakis with, like, the, you know, the algebra and the...
Yeah. I just feel like that the move that to spend the extra vote there for the, like, as the protection against a worst case scenario at the final 10, I feel like if you were going to do that move there and you were not assured of getting Laurel out, or if Wendell should have been her target, like, it's just there was, she used it and then did not accomplish what she was trying to do.
She did not reverse the curse.
She did not reverse the curse. And yeah, Jeff said that that was another one of these advantages, that the curse is too powerful.
Well, it has not been given enough time to mature.
Not enough time to mature. The only from season 34.
Yeah, these younger items are not like Donathan's. That one's, like, pretty youthful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me play this question for you about Kellen moving forward. This is from the great Graham from the Bay.
Hey, Robin, Rourke, it's Graham from the Bay.
I'm from the Bay.
I want to talk about Kellen because I think she dug herself in a pretty big hole in the game. She's lost all cachet with Dom, Wendell, and now Laurel too. And also, in her mind, she's on the outs of what she perceived to be Naviti strong, and her game is sort of in limbo right now. And even though in the preview she's pissed and wants to rile the troops in her favor, is there any way for Kellen to get out of this and even potentially win the game, considering her current circumstances? Love to get your thoughts. Thanks.
To your fellow Bay Area resident.
I'm assuming he means Bay Area, not like the Chesapeake Bay.
Northern California.
Okay, cool.
Graham.
Cool,
cool. Okay. So do you see an out for Kellen?
I don't know, because the problem is I feel like what I think we're what we're being set up for with the fact that we know, you know, the you know, jokes you've made about the 5-5 and the sort of like AAA league and the
yes.
And like four of those people we knew essentially nothing about. We did not know much about Jenna. We do not know much about Seabass. We do not know much about Chelsea, or we literally know nothing about Chelsea.
Yeah.
And then Donathan is obviously fine. And who else was there? I'm sorry. Why am I spacing?
At the
Angela.
Yes.
That yes. tells you everything.
Yes.
So like those four people, like we know what their outcome is and it's not winning. And so
even Donathan, you're including him.
I was going to, the four I was thinking of was, including Jenna.
Okay.
Yeah. So even though she's been, so obviously she's not winning. So I guess then the three people, the three people remaining, excluding Donathan, like aren't going to win. They're just, we don't know anything about them. Story wise, it makes no sense.
Right.
And so those people are pretty central to, Kellen's like long-term vision. And so I only see her pawns getting further whittled away and probably quickly. Because I think the longer those people, like the less sense it makes, the longer these people extend and the kind of the more frustrating it is for the audience. And so like, there's going to be a point where she's desperate. And like I think that point is now. Yeah, true. Yeah. But I think even more desperate where like she's going, I could see my envisioned outcome for her, which I like wrote in one of my rankings, is that she's going to be Cambodia Kelly Wentworth, where she's just like begging, like, just let me make fire. You know, like, I don't even know if she'll make it, because obviously then fire was not guaranteed.
Right.
But she's going to be saying, like, just give me a chance. Like, please save me. Like, and whatever that will mean for her. Like, I think she will be begging the dominant group to do something to help her. And I don't know that she's earned help.
Kellen. Yeah, I can't even see her getting that far at this point.
Well, I don't think she's getting to fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think she's getting to fire.
Yeah. I think that the best thing that she can do is that there's this interesting disconnect now between you had that first tribal council and you had the second tribal council, and they didn't let the first tribal council sit and watch the second one and vice versa. So that Kellen could come back and all of the people at the first tribal council left, with the exception of Donathan, those are all the Kellen people. And she could come back and sort of like misconstrue the events of the second tribal council about how Dominic and Wendell, they're not with us. We have to make the move against those guys now, that it was clear they hung me out to dry. They're against me. We got to make our move now. Now it's 4-4 though, but I do feel like that she has some power in being able to rile the other three people up against the Dominic and Wendell contingent. And I think that she could think that that's the right time, because I think that she realizes that they also have Donathan and Laurel. So she might look at them as sitting ducks now. Okay, they're just two. We have four. Let's go ahead. And she might even say to Laurel and Donathan, hey, we're making our move on Wendell and Dominic tonight. Even if she says it just to Donathan, not even to Laurel, and says, hey, Donathan, are you in? Because this is your chance. And then he could be the snitch and go back and tell them, and we could potentially get to a 4-4 tie this week.
Yeah. I mean, I was just, while you were saying that, imagining what like a riled up Chelsea would look like.
She'd be pissed too.
Yeah.
So I think that Kellen,
the fire is raging inside her.
Yes. Just like Donathan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about the other tribal council for a moment, if we can. And so, I thought that this was, very interesting in terms of what was going to happen with Donathan's idol. That was where all of the intrigue came from. And that I liked it when Michael went to go ask Donathan about the idol and if he could use it. And in hindsight, I went back and listened to that again. I think that Donathan has a pretty lame excuse to Michael of why he can't borrow his idol.
Oh, I know, but I don't see how it would. Because no one suspects
it's already in my bag and I got it packed away and everything.
Yeah, so it's already in my bag. It's packed. I already checked the bag and I can't go back and get it out of the bag and everything and give it to you. I'm sorry. I wish I could. It's in the bag and everything.
That's a really funny excuse.
Yeah.
Also, oh, I know, thank you for.
I don't see how it would. Because no one suspects.
Because it's already in my bag and I got it packed away and everything.
Oh, okay. Well, I wouldn't want to inconvenience you.
Yeah.
If you're already packed for tribal.
I'd really hate to see you run back to the house and grab that last thing that would.
You mean your bag that's like right there?
Yeah.
That's right there.
Oh, you can't go back and get my EpiPen? The one thing that'll save my life?
Yeah.
Thanks, honey.
Thank you. A lot of people wanted to ask about this question that Heather G from Tempe has for you. Let me go ahead and play that question.
Hi, this is Heather G from Tempe, AZ. This was briefly mentioned during the know-it-alls, but I want to hear you talk about it more. So I know the Purple Tribal was the less exciting of the two tribal councils, but I am pulling my hair out when thinking about what could have been with Jonathan's idol play. Why didn't he tell people that he had the two halves of the Korong idol and say that they had the exact same power as before and that he could play it after the votes have been read? I know him and Jenna aren't that strong of an alliance, but at least they could have shaken things up and possibly formed a crack in Navidi. And I swear to God, if I hear Navidi strong one more time, I'm going to pee in the rice.
She didn't say it 1,000 times. She just said it a couple of times, okay? All right, Rourke, tell me about this. Were you thinking that, why didn't Donathan give one half of his idol to Jenna to protect her with the two pieces that they had?
Yeah, I think that that would have made a lot more sense. And I mean, that's another, you'll have to ask him about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to retread too much. I feel like you talked about this on Know It Alls and with Tyson. So, but yeah, I mean, either say that both halves are now, either say that like, I can play this after the vote, just as you could in Cambodia, or say that the two halves now are each individual ones. Like, you had two pretty solid options and went with neither of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, he's a fan. Maybe he just, I mean, they're hungry. They're tired. I'm sure he is kicking himself.
The one thing I could think of there, though, is that was he concerned about getting the reverse tie where, that's T-A-I, where if he lets Jenna hold half of his idol at Tribal Council and then the votes come back, or for whatever reason she says, no, I'm not going to give this back to you, that does sort of nullify the half of his idol to the point where that if for some reason there was some sort of a Dr. Mike scenario where Jenna says, stands up and says, I've been waiting 10 years to throw this in the there was some danger for him in potentially losing his idol.
Absolutely.
If she doesn't pull like a where Mike Holloway and Shireen did something like that, where she held his idol and then gave it back to him before the votes were
which
cast.
Was the
that was very kind of her. Yeah. But if Jenna, you know, decides to, you know, hold it away from him with her long arm and say, hey, I'm not going to give this back. Like, I'm holding on to this for the vote tonight. Then that could have screwed him up. But now that we've brought Ty into this, let's talk about this question. This is from Charlie from Maryland.
I was going to say a Dr. Mike situation is no situation that you want to be a part of.
Hey, Robin Rourke. This is Charlie from Maryland. So I'm just wondering, is Donathan the new Ty? Getting the funny stuff out of the way, like the fact that you can barely understand him, he literally found Ty's idol and told a bigger dude no when he asked for the idol. Donathan does have a lot of similarities to Ty, it seems like. He seems to be well-liked by everybody in the game and aligned with a much bigger threat who he may not realize is the bigger threat and is sort of using him. Is Donathan bound to be a final three goat like Ty, who's just berated by the jury for making all these promises that he can't keep? Let me know. Bye.
So is Donathan the new Ty? And I thought this was an interesting question. And then I went through the secret scenes for this episode. And Donathan has a whole secret scene, which is like a love letter to Ty. that Ty is apparently Donathan's, if not his favorite player, one of his favorite players. He relates to him so much, and he was like really invested in having Ty's idol and trying to reverse the curse. But he seems to have a weird like understanding of the curse, where he's talking about how, you know, Ty and Scott, they weren't able to complete their super idol. It's like, yeah, because Ty did, it was not in his best interest. Like, there was no curse on Ty from this idol. Like, Scott, only if you're a Scott Pollard fan are you trying to reverse the curse of this idol. But he's so happy. He hopes that Ty is happy that he has his idol. And so he's so into Ty. He says that he's on Reddit and his gold flare is Ty.
He's looking for that Sia money, Rob.
Is that what he wants?
Yeah, he wants that Sia cash.
So, I was hoping there'd be some chickens on this season.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
I could take care of. Yeah. So, yeah, that's crazy. But so do you see him as a Ty type figure in this season, where somebody who's going down to the end that potentially gets to the end, but the jury is saying to him, what did you do?
I think the difference between him and Ty, at least in terms of the edit, is that a central part of connecting with Ty was, you know, like people appealing to his emotions and his ability to feel like he had a say and that he was, you know, not a fish out of water, but really central and important. And we haven't really had to see that type of sell to Donathan. He's just down. He's down for the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I do understand the fish out of water commonality. I understand the superficial similarities. But I don't know that he would get berated so much as maybe not addressed if he made it to the final three.
I don't get the sense that anybody is mad at Donathan.
Right,
getting
I
to
agree.
The end. The only person that we've even gotten a hint that's mad at Donathan was Chris Noble in the exit interview, seemed pretty down on Donathan for voting him out of the game when he felt like he had a bond with him.
Mm.
But nobody else seems to be annoyed with Donathan to this point in the game.
Yes, agreed.
But we'll see. You know, it's the kind of thing where everybody feels like Donathan is with them. I wish I would have asked Jenna if she was mad at Donathan for not playing the idol, but I
feel somewhere that where she was like, we never really had a relationship.
Yeah. So she wasn't that mad, and she was trying to vote him off anyway. So all water under the bridge. Let's bring in a question about this week, and this is from one of our listeners, Mike.
Hey, Rob. This is Michael Yerger calling from Tennessee. I think we can all agree I was a really big part of the season, and I think we can all agree that I'm very mature for my age and that I'm very, very sexy. But my question is, did it look like I was having any fun out there? I mean, I'm 18 for crying out loud, but I always seem so serious and so sad and a little glum. Why? I'm so very sexy, as I mentioned. And yet, I felt the need to just be mature all the time. Do you think I was having fun? I'd love to hear your thoughts, but frankly, I don't listen to your show.
Okay. Thank you, Michael, for the call. All right. Let's talk about this a little bit, where Michael, you know, seemingly universally popular, but is very serious, does have a lot of gravitas to him. Rourke, do you feel like, has this been part of Michael's appeal, that he has like Edward Cullen type seriousness to him?
That's a hysterical comparison.
Would you say not necessarily emo, but sort of not wacky? He's not silly or fun. He's very serious all the time.
So he's definitely
he's intense.
I've met him a few times, and he's not like that. Now, obviously, I didn't play with him. I have no idea what he was like on the island. I think that he was pretty consistently in bad situations out there. And so I think that, you know, he could have been a little like, gosh, you know, like I'm the cure again. And so, like, I think that he was probably really having to scramble like all the time. And that's pretty disheartening. So I think that could have something to do with it, because I think that in his, you know, day to day life, I don't really think he's struggling very much.
Yes.
I think he's doing pretty good. So I think that it might have been like a new role for him. Because also he's not like that. Like in his Ponderosa video, he definitely does not come across as too serious.
Too stiff.
Yeah, no.
Yes.
I think a lot about like the idea of currency and mm-hmm. like what are like what an individual's currency
like
is in the world.
Cryptocurrency.
Yeah, I don't get okay. into cryptos, but you can talk to Mike Holloway about that.
there was somebody else that's really into cryptocurrency that I think is a Survivor alumni, and I can't, and it's really wacky.
That's really funny.
Jonas, I think, is very into the cryptocurrency.
Sure.
Yeah.
You can get some high-priced tuna.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay, currency.
So, yeah, so, like...
emotional currency?
No, I mean, like, my currency, so... like, I don't move through the world thinking, like, my currency is my appearance. You know, like, I think I will, like, I bring people to me based on being smart or being kind mm-hmm. or being funny. Or,
that's
you know,
what you value or what you perceive as value in the world?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I care about my appearance, but right. I don't think, like, that's not what's going to, like, get me far in this world.
Right.
Whereas, like, Michael's currency is, like, flirting.
Mm-hmm.
Being very sexy.
Yes.
And, you know, whatever. And so, like, for it's very actually interesting to interact with him because I'm like, wow, it must be, like, so interesting to be this person. Like,
right.
And just, like, get things because you're so smooth. You know, like, it, you know, I just can't relate to that at all. I have this, like, I'm smart and can hold a conversation, but I'm weird.
Right.
And so, like, I think that he's least likely to tell a joke because he's never had to be funny.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because this is something that I've heard often cited, that you a sense of humor is a evolutionary characteristic of a person that is not extremely good looking.
Oh, I like that. That's
yeah,
good.
That you develop that. That yeah. That's something that
it's a defense mechanism.
You build because if you are, you know, extremely good looking, you don't need to be fun. People will
exactly.
People will laugh at anything you say.
Yes.
But the better looking you are.
Yes. Like Amy Schumer went to a Knicks game with a male friend of hers, and mm-hmm. she had for one reason or another like front row seats,
yes.
courtside, whatever it's called. And I guess Kate Upton was also there.
Mm-hmm.
And this male friend of hers ended up talking to Kate Upton and came back to Amy Schumer and was like, she's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yes.
Like, sorry. Like, get out. She's not allowed to. Like, no, there's no chance she's funny. Like, you've lowered your bar of funny because she's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I love that little nugget.
Okay. Let's bring in another question about Michael. And this is a question. This is from Renee, also from Northern California.
Hi, Rob. This is Renee from Northern California. And I have a question about Michael. So Michael just seems like the type of character that Jeff would love to give last name status to. In fact, a couple of episodes ago, he said, after Michael did his spectacular dive into the ocean, now that's how you do it on Survivor. So I'm wondering, is the reason that he doesn't give Michael last name status because Michael's last name is Jurger? Just curious. Love to hear your thoughts. Thanks so much. Love your podcast. They're so awesome.
Thank you, Renee.
Bye.
So I like that Renee decided, she took the time to call in and she wants to know, is the reason why Michael hasn't been given last name status from Jeff Probst because the name Jurger isn't a good enough last name
well,
for Jeff Probst?
You know, Jeff can only do so many last names per season. And
yes.
So this one, he clearly needed to go with Kleege. No, he does, though. He does have preferences. Like mm-hmm. When he thought Ryan's last name was Ulrich.
Yes.
And he was willing to last name him. And then in like Josh corrected him in an interview. He was like, no, it's Ulrich. And he goes, oh, that's not good.
Yeah. No.
So, yeah, that's a thing.
Are there that many people on a first time out season that get the last name treatment? Is there anybody that you could think of this season that's gotten last name treatment? I feel like that it is a second time around where that Jeff, I feel like that was always Rob on the island. I don't remember if I got the Rob C on the island in the brief stint on All Stars. But now Jeff will refer to me as Cesternino almost exclusively.
Interesting.
So, and I didn't ask for that. I wasn't like Cochran.
Well, I mean, then the...
He didn't request it.
Right, exactly. I feel like you can't count that because he requested
it. And Steven is Fishback now, but I don't think he was Fishback the first time around.
Agreed. So I think then it's really going to depend on what happens when he plays next. I think that can be our litmus test.
Yeah. So if Jurger comes back, I feel like Jurger doesn't really go with... also, I think it's also interesting going back to that first thing that he's Michael and he's not Mike or Mikey. I think that there is an inherent, a wackiness more to a Mike than a Michael. I'd be a different person, I think, if I was Robert.
Yeah. I actually was thinking about that. I was like, you're so not a Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So, yeah, I think that you sort of like want to bring the formality down where you say, oh, no, call me Rob, call me Dave, call me, as opposed to somebody who is more seriousness wants to go with the full name, the formal name.
Yeah. 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 No. We're going to not go with Jurger. I like to call him Jurger.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Does he mind?
Well, I only do it when I like text with Ryan.
Yes. Okay. When you text about him in the third person, you call him Jurger.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I have more questions for you here. Rourke, you doing good?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are friends over at canvaspeople.com. Rourke, you can see here in my studio, my beautiful Canvas People work of art of Jadis from the Garbage People that she is putting together a sculpture there. Some people call her Ann now, but I still call her Jadis in my
Canvas. Is that a reality show that I need to start watching?
Well, it depends if you consider The Walking Dead a reality show or not.
Yes, that's
what that is. And so, of course, Mother's Day is around the corner coming up on next Sunday, this upcoming Sunday. Don't forget about Mom with a beautiful photo from canvaspeople.com. And I've got some exciting news for our listeners because by popular demand, promo code RHAP is back to get your 11x14 Canvas People print for $0. You just pay the shipping and handling, Rourke.
That's a sweet deal.
It's a fantastic deal. Are there any photos from this season that you would want to commemorate as a Canvas People photo? Actually, that your father took a picture of you every single day for your entire life.
He did.
Does he have a favorite one?
He captured one. It's on obviously an old camera because it's from when I was an infant.
Mm-hmm.
And he just snapped it at the perfect moment where I was puking.
Yes.
And you can see the string vomit coming out of my mouth and like landing on the floor.
Is it the same pose every day or is it a different?
Okay. No, different every time.
Different every day. Is there a lot of pressure after
puking every day?
Okay. Well, maybe you were puking when you took the picture. Do you feel a lot of pressure to do you have writer's block in terms of taking the picture every day?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I want it to be fun. Like if I'm with friends, I'm like, let's take one together. And then I forget and it just becomes some boring selfie.
Okay, well, forget the boring ones. Take the good ones, turn them into a beautiful work of art with canvaspeople.com. It's a $69 and $99 value that you can try out for $0 pricing. You just pay the shipping and handling. It's great for Mother's Day or any time of the year. And again, that promo code is simply RHAP on the Canvas People website. After you upload your photo, after you select the 11x14 size, just put in that promo code RHAP and you can get your Canvas People photo sent to you. You're gonna love it. Go ahead, try it out. canvaspeople.com, promo code RHAP. All right, let's get back to Dominic and Wendell. We haven't talked too much about them outside of their whispering. Let me play you this question. This is from Brent the Shower Man.
Hey Rourke and Rob, this is Brent the Shower Man. My question is about the once budding bromance that is now in full bloom. Shout out Mike Bloom. Yes, I'm talking about Wendell and Dom. Wom or Domdel or Wendinick, whichever you prefer. We've seen many scenes of their playful banter during challenges and at camp, and I'm wondering how this may affect their standing in the eyes of the other players. You'd think it would rub people the wrong way and show them as an obviously threatening pair, but we haven't seen that yet. Will these scenes come back to haunt them in the end, or do you think they'll skip hand in hand into the final three? I would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks. Bye.
Rourke, we've seen so much from Dominic and Wendell. Of course, it's always something that people look at in reality TV. Okay, oh, those two are a pair. We got to split them up. They were so out in the open about how much they were a pair in this episode. Do you think that that will eventually come back to bite them?
I mean, I don't think it has to any more so than people knew Chrissy and Ryan were a pair, or JT and Steven were a pair, mm-hmm. or that anyone else is a pair or a trio. Like, and pairs can fluctuate. They can like roller coaster where they are in a situation. So like,
I heard about that roller coaster this week. That was the same roller coaster Kellen was on, right?
How yes. I feel is that we're in the loop and I'm hanging upside down. Very, very uncomfortable. And until someone comes and pushes us for the rest of the ride, I guess we're just waiting for this next boat.
Well, that sounds like a nightmare, right? That's like a lawsuit.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like when you sue Six Flags. For sure. I'll represent Kellen in that.
So do you think that it is an issue only when it is a romantic pair on Survivor as opposed to a pair that is more of a platonic pair?
That's an interesting distinction. Also, because I think the whether this is a misconception or an accurate judgment, there seems to be the assumption that if it's romantic, you must share the same brain. Mm-hmm. And therefore, whoever's the leader, the other one's like an extra vote. Mm-hmm. And so like, whereas if it's friends, then you're still independent thinkers. And I don't really know if that's true. We haven't seen, you know, a true mm-hmm. romantic pair get very I don't know. Do you consider like the Mishes a romantic pair that got far?
Well, I think that that was a little different. It was a blood versus water season. But you have, you know, oh, you know, got to get rid of, you know, Cole and Jessica.
Right.
Or
yeah,
Figgy,
yeah.
Figgy and Taylor. Or,
right.
You know,
that's why I was like, am I going to get
like Steven and JT or Steven are okay. You know, Malcolm and Denise, that's okay. You know, it's interesting that the pairs that are just tight in terms of, you know, a friendship, they don't seem to be targeted. I'm sure that we are missing somebody along the way, but for the most part, like, oh, Brad and Troy's Anna, that's fine. Don't worry about them. But mm-hmm. if you are a couple, that's a non-starter.
That's off limits.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that.
So maybe that we are over worrying about this in terms of the two of them being together, because it doesn't seem like Survivors really care about this that much. We care about it more in watching the show.
Yeah. Because I also think, though, like something that, you know, how I said, like after you go on it, your perception changes. Mm-hmm. And I think you start to think more about like the storytelling, and like I don't exactly mean reading the edit, but I mean like what's important to the editors.
Yeah.
And so clearly like their bromance is very important to the viewer. Is it very important to the players?
Mm-hmm.
That's unclear. We weren't there, you know? And so like the editors tell, you know, it's a story told in reverse that plays out linearly.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, what's salient and visible on the island is not necessarily what's salient and visible to the audience.
Okay. Rourke, did you happen to catch the Ponderosa video this week? Ponderosa videos have really been on point this season.
I consumed everything this week, so I was prepared.
Okay, good. Happy to hear that. So we had a double Ponderosa this week where both Jenna and Michael went to Ponderosa. They talked about their experiences. Michael came out as an 18-year-old to Libby.
Mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm. That must have been an important developmental milestone for him.
Yes. Again, he did it in a very peculiar way. I didn't pull any clips to talk about this, but can you tell the story of Michael coming out as an 18-year-old to yes. Libby?
So he invites her to join him,
mm-hmm.
shave his beard.
Yes.
And then she comments, "Wow, you look so much younger. I would have said 5 years younger." And he goes, "It's so funny that you say that number. I'm actually 18.
Yes. Yes. And then how did she react?
She was like, "Oh."
Yeah.
It's not quite, the problem is like deer in the headlights doesn't quite capture it. Mm-hmm. But there's something about her facial expression and her eyes where she like always looks a little scared.
Libby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so in this moment, it really It really showed itself.
Yes. Okay. And so that we had that moment. We had a family.
I think she
visit.
Was questioning the legality of what she wanted to do.
I'm not in trouble, right?
Yeah.
Right. We're in Fiji.
International waters. There's no law.
What are the laws here in Fiji? Okay. No. It's all kosher.
Yeah.
And then we got another like skit at the end of these Ponderosa videos where Michael and Jenna were talking about potentially some sort of Survivor fragrance. And so here is a clip of Jenna and Michael discussing some sort of Survivor fragrance.
First word that comes to your mind about Survivor, go.
Bamboo. No, but it's got to be attractive. It's got to be hot.
I like the smell of gasoline.
Okay, no.
She said, I like the smell of gasoline.
I do, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah, diesel or unleaded?
Unleaded.
Okay. All right.
That said, I've never smelled diesel, I don't think.
Mm.
I should give it a sniff.
Yeah.
See how I feel.
Okay. So that's what Jenna likes that.
Yeah.
And I thought that the name Bamboo, I think that was a good name for a Survivor fragrance. I think I think that would have worked. I don't know why they shot that down so quickly.
Appealing.
Something Fiji. Something Vinaka.
No.
Honestly, the only thing I ever smelled was farts on the island.
The only thing that Jenna ever smelled on the island was farts.
Where was she? Like, that's absurd.
I don't know.
Also, like, can they take an improv class? Like, just immediately shooting down every idea?
No. Also, we've heard about Jenna that she smells like dead weasel, that her hair smells like dead weasel. That was from...
Also, how do you know?
Sebastian. I don't know. There was also a moment when they get the Ponderosa that... she's talking about how Michael doesn't smell, but Michael is saying that Jenna does, in fact, smell.
Mm-hmm.
So something is off here in terms of that. But
a lot of olfactory.
Yes, but they ended up making this cologne commercial on the Ponderosa video.
Yes. Rourke,
can you describe the Jenna and Michael cologne commercial?
It's very sensual.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part is where I think she didn't really know what to do with her head. And so he just like thrusts it into his abs.
Yes.
That was a especially uncomfortable moment. A lot of like slow looking, their hair blowing, black and white. Very Calvin Klein, as you said. Very Calgon, take me away.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, moving and stirring. It was great.
Yeah, it was very, very fun. And Rourke, it got me thinking that you were coming here. And so they did this here in season 36. But my mind started going in all these different places about, could there have been a similar cologne commercial made during your time on the beach with the Healers in season 35, and what would that look like? And if you don't mind, I want to pitch you on my idea for
it's like Shark Tank.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I want you to use your imagination here, and this is sort of like, you know, you're Don Draper, and we're coming into. I want to pitch you on this idea for a fragrance here that could have been. We could have done this commercial during your time with the Healers in season 30. No, I wouldn't have been. I'm directing the commercial.
Got it.
I'm directing the commercial. This is from you and all of your friends there on the beach during Survivor.
During 30, the good days.
During those time. Okay.
Those sweet 9 days where nothing went wrong.
I've written out this script here.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So let me pitch you. All right. Fade up. Open on waves crashing on Healer Beach. High contrast, black and white. Jessica and Cole lay on the shore as the tide creeps up to their toes. Slow motion. Rourke and Desi walking away from camera. They pause, looking back at the sunset on the horizon. Joe Mena flexes as he roasts a patata on the campfire. A man walks into frame. Music swells.
Hey guys, it's me, Dr. Mike. You want to get your girl really interested? Try my new signature fragrance, Panuma.
Oh my God.
It's Fijian for confident. Very, very confident. Now you don't have to be Michael Yerger to make women believe that you've got a hidden advantage too. And is DJ Khalid out of his mind or what?
Available where fine fragrances are sold or at zoology.com.
DJ Khaled.
Yes.
Oh my God. That was really great.
Are you in or out?
You know, I'm in for a 30% share.
All right. So good. We can see this. Would that outsell Aqua by
no
Jen
chance.
And Michael?
Absolutely no chance.
Okay. All right.
Never, not once.
I did. We worked very hard on my treatment for the Healer Beach cologne commercial.
Well, that was great.
Okay. Thank you.
I like, though, that it's black and white, but still like a sunset. And I don't think you'd actually perceive a black and white sunset as a sunset.
Oh, what would you perceive it as? Sunrise?
I don't know. What? Because I don't just like colors.
Let's do an experiment.
I don't know.
Okay, let me play you this voicemail. Speaking of Ponderosa videos, this is a question from Adam.
Hey, Rob, it's Adam from Phoenix. The plot is thickening in the case of the disappearing Ponderosa clips. If you watch Desiree's video on CBS.com now, the part with her teaching Chris and Libby to dance is gone. This is the second time this season a piece of a video has disappeared. What's going on? Have the ghosts escaped Ghost Island, and are they haunting CBS.com? We need to solve this case before any more innocent clips get taken from us.
Rourke, were you aware of this?
No, okay. I had no
did
idea.
Did you watch Desiree's Ponderosa video?
That's the
from
one
last
I haven't seen.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay, so maybe a lot of people did not watch Desiree's Ponderosa video. It was also the week that we were in Boston for the Know-It-Alls. A lot of people were traveling and didn't catch up on all of the videos. So Desiree came back to the Ponderosa with Chris and with Libby. And in her Ponderosa video, she then taught an African dance to Chris and to Libby. And so she taught them this dance that was in the Ponderosa video. It certainly did not have the pomp and circumstance of the Chris Noble Ponderosa video. But for the second time this season, in the same way that Chris Noble's mm-hmm. rap video has been removed from CBS.com, the same thing has happened to Desiree and her African dance.
With
and the
music?
Question, again, is why? Where did the video go? Who is re-editing the Ponderosa videos after they go up?
You have received a call from Fiji Base Camp. Do you accept the charges?
Put them through. Who's greenlighting these videos and then taking them down? How could they have done the same thing again? If it's a copyright issue, you would think they'd be out in front of this, right? Was somebody offended? Did someone not like the dance? What's going on here with the Ponderosa video? And what's going to happen with the Jenna and Michael cologne commercial? Is that not long for this world as well?
All these questions and fewer answers. Coming up.
As we explore the mysteries of Ponderosa. Again. I'm stumped.
Yeah, that's really bizarre.
I mean, how could this keep happening? It's so crazy. We talked to Eliza last week on the podcast. There is a 20-season rich history of the Ponderosa video. This never happened before, and it's happened 2 out of 3 weeks.
Yeah, I guess the Chris thing is we can like tell ourselves the story of the copyright. Was there music backing the dance?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe they were playing a song and then that was an issue.
But you'd think they'd score it just like they score everything else.
I don't know.
Well,
we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's happening
add
there.
Add it to all of Chelsea's confessionals.
Is that what happened?
The cutting
also?
Room floor.
They went to the Chelsea's confessionals were really good and for some reason they got cut.
They've had
too?
To be recalled.
Okay. All right.
Listeria outbreak.
Here's a question for you from Andrew Kirk.
Hey, Robin Rourke. This is Andrew Kirk calling from California. My question for Rourke is, I know you're a fan of MTV's The Challenges, and on this past season of The Challenge, if they won an elimination round, they were able to give a disadvantage to one of their competitors called a grenade. So do you feel like with a potential future season, say they have Redemption Island in play, do you feel like they could do something like that, say some say somebody wins Redemption Island, then use somebody on the tribe to vote in an auto grenade. I want to know what you think about that.
Okay. Rourke, what is Andrew talking about, this grenade idea? Would this work on Survivor?
Well, that's like what I was telling you, where you can pick the teams.
Yes.
So you had an option where you could pick the teams, give like a disadvantage, like you could tie their legs up, and so they would have to like hop through the mm-hmm. challenge. They did that once, and it turned out to be a swimming challenge, so they were like, well, you just can't do it. Mm-hmm. And then it can be like slow, that like add 5 minutes to their time in the challenge, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I guess you could maybe like during those challenges say like, I'm going to give, like you, like me and you were playing, I'm going to give you a disadvantage where on those balancing challenges, you have to start in like the middle. Like you don't get to start on
and
the thickest part.
How do you get that, to give that to somebody?
I don't know. Okay. I just think, I mean, I'm all for like, not that I actually dislike the concept of Ghost Island, of like bringing back things, you know, there's plenty of room for kind of like innovative twists. And I like time sensitive ones. Like I liked mm-hmm. the stuff in 35 where it was like, this is good for this tribal and you have to use it. Mm-hmm. So like, this is good for this challenge and you have to use it. Like that's nice. And then you don't wind up with like a Suri, frankly, you know, like right. you don't wind up with everybody sitting until everyone dumps. And so, oh God, that sounds terrible. That was, wow. Sorry.
No problem. We got it. We got it.
unloads their idols? I don't, whatever.
De-idols?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Good thing Dr. Mike is in here. He might have a different
yes.
term.
Yes. Okay. Let me play a question for you from a great friend of the podcast. Here is a question from Allie Lasher.
Hi, Rourke and Rob. This is Allie Lasher calling in for the first time ever, leaving a voicemail. And a conversation Robin Tyson had inspired me. What makes lawyers so bad at the Survivor game? And Rourke, I think you could maybe shed a little bit of light given your next career move. What makes us so bad at the game? And then if you have time, what's the best profession to have on Survivor and what's the worst? Thanks, guys.
Okay. Talk to me first about why the decision to go to law school.
For me personally? Yeah. For me personally?
Yes.
So I want to combine social work and law to mm-hmm. do like comprehensive family law.
Yeah.
And so I want to do like child-centric custody and divorce. Mm-hmm. I always hedge.
What does that mean, child-centric?
So basically, instead of like just saying like...
The kid gets their own lawyer?
No. that'd be hilarious though.
Mom and dad, you're going to have to yeah. speak to my counsel.
Exactly. Sally requests that she retain the property of the playground and mm-hmm. the stuffed animals. Mm-hmm. No. So basically the idea would... It really sounds very goop. Very Gwyneth Paltrow-y,
yes.
where it's like, I want to help people consciously uncouple. Mm-hmm. So I always kind of hedge, but I actually think it like, hopefully will do a lot of good, where instead of trying to sort of like bleed each other dry, mm-hmm. like let's do what's best for this family as a system, even mm-hmm. if that means we're not together anymore. And so, yeah, my vision would be to...
Does anybody actually do this, or you're making up a new thing?
I'm making up a new thing.
Okay.
So maybe edit this out, but no, I'm kidding. yeah. But yeah, so what I would love to eventually have is like a wraparound, like a clinic where it's private practice and we have wraparound support where somebody's handling your legal needs, somebody's handling like therapeutic needs, mm-hmm. somebody's handling like housing
yeah.
and school, you know, like that. A family's total like set of needs through that time could be met in like my office. Yeah.
Well, this sounds like something that is a very practical thing.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. For couples that are going through a divorce and want to be very, like very logical about it, that, my wife has already informed me that, you know, if and when we have a divorce, it will be very ugly and mean spirited. So I don't think that this would be
okay.
right for
us. So I won't leave you my card.
Right. Right. My wife will, she said that she will, you know, take everything I have.
Wow.
And it will
all
be
right.
very, it will be very unpleasant. So it's sort of like, you know, that's like the, like, hey, if you vote me out, I'm going to go to the jury and I'm going to you know, you won't win.
Yeah.
So that doesn't sound right for us, but uh-huh. for, you know, people that have like, you know, more evolved thinkers, I think it sounds like a great thing.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, okay, back to professions within Survivor. So,
and where this came up with Tyson was a lot of people talking about that they actually are lawyers or talking about that they have other jobs, but they really are lawyers.
Mm-hmm. I think probably the worst possible job would be like, and I don't think we've seen this, like, oh, I'm a political operative.
Political operative.
Yeah.
Like, can you give me an example of a political operative?
You know, either like, oh, I'm like a political pundit. I write op-eds for insert, you know, one-sided magazine here, you know, like, I think because that it would inspire like potentially a lot of negative conversations.
Mm-hmm.
It would, cause then, you know, you talk about what you do, whether you're lying or telling the truth. And, if you decide to tell the truth on that, people would be like, oh, what do you write? And it's like, you know, that's potentially down like a pretty bad path. So I think that could get you in social trouble as well as like, oh, this person's sneaky and like has no morals.
Right. I think also you probably don't want that person at the final tribal council because I feel like that maybe they might be
a bit of a wordsmith.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if I want to, you know, go against like Van Jones in the final three or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like a Jeb Bush, you can probably carry them along.
Right, well, so are we talking about
please clap.
Yes. So are we talking about like a political candidate or
I guess either, I would say. I think like somebody you'd probably want to like vote out really fast is like an Olivia Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Like a scandal, like a fixer.
Yeah, right. But I don't think that they would say that that's what they
were.
Oh
my God, they never would. Right. I guess I'm saying like if you're being honest about it.
Right.
This is what you shouldn't. Be. You could be really good and then actually just lie, and that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be good.
I think probably lawyers lie about their profession because of a little bit of like confirmation bias, where it's like, oh, like I'm so smart. Mm-hmm. If I tell people, they're going to think I'm really smart, and yeah. I can't have that. And so it's like a little bit of ego involved. Yeah.
The thing about the lawyer that I also think is part of it, where I think that there is like a Survivor thing where you try to like talk yourself into like if somebody has a good profession, it's almost like if you vote them out, it's like, well, they don't really need the money. They're a lawyer. Whereas a doctor has the same sort of thing. But I feel like that there's sort of like a little bit more of a like benevolency to the doctor. But I think for the lawyer, it's like they're set. That they don't need this. We're not ruining their life by voting them out.
Right. And I was trying to think, I was like, oh, well, you could be like, oh, I'm a public defender. Like I have no money. But then it's like, oh, they're a do-gooder. And that like becomes its own problem as well, potentially.
Yes. And I do think that there are lawyers that could win the game. I don't think it would be impossible by any stretch of the imagination for a lawyer to win. I'm not sure. Is there a lawyer that has won? I'm trying to think. It escapes me if they have.
I don't know. I like watch things, and this applies to like everything. I watch movies, I watch television shows, and then they just sort of purge.
In and out.
Yeah,
right.
It like runs through my brain.
Yes. Okay. Let's take a question from another great friend of the podcast and a friend of ours. Haley Strong has a question.
Woohoo. Loving this back to back.
Hi, Robin Rourke. This is your best friend, Haley Strong, calling. We all know that Rourke is a big fan of all reality television. And in this episode of Survivor, we saw Sebastian throw a vote against his Island Bay, Jenna. Rourke, what reality TV couples do you think would vote against each other if they were playing Survivor? Thanks. Bye.
Okay.
Oh, what a great question. I really love that.
Right. Other reality TV couples that would vote against each other.
I think that, should I keep it just to The Bachelor? Or should I go
wherever
like,
you want to go. If you have whoever is top of mind, maybe everybody's going to know what you're talking about. Maybe they won't.
I think Cara Maria and Abram would definitely vote against each other, especially at this point in their lives. Or maybe she'd be too afraid of him, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think Catherine and Sean from Sean's season of The Bachelor would vote against each other in like a funny way.
Okay.
Where they could be like, they could go home and like laugh it off. I don't think they'd take it too personally. And I'm trying to think of like another one where I watch where it's like couple-y.
Mm-hmm.
Like there've got to be some 90 Day Fiancé people that would vote against each other and like hope that like created a breakup. Like I could see like Anfisa and George, like vote against each other right before the merge. And so it's like, oh, thank God, like I get a break. I get a vacation from this person.
In the case of Jenna and Seabass, it's interesting that they, so I don't really think that they were a couple on the island, but
they definitely weren't.
But then he voted her out and then they became a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
That does not often happen.
Well, their love was strong enough.
It was strong. It was strong enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they were able to.
That wordless connection on the airplane.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That can you reset that? That was from somebody's exit press with her, right?
Yeah. I read in Gordon's that I guess in her pregame press said that she was going to marry Seabass. Hadn't even spoken.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Mm-hmm. I, in fairness, I think that the number one time to fall in love with Seabass is before he has spoken.
I was going to say, I hope their relationship has remained as it began, but I think, so I don't know, somebody can like confirm this, that they, so they have matching tattoos on their trice, on the backs of their
trice. Really? Yeah. What does it say?
So it's on Instagram and I've like zoomed in on it, but it's still a little blurry. Yes.
You're very into the Tarzan and Jenna.
This is on Jenna Bowen's personal account.
Yes.
This in particular photo, but I do have a bizarre affection for the couple account.
Yes. Yes. You love it.
In the and I really hope to one day divide that asset.
Wow. Has that come up? That have you, in your research, have you looked into this? How would you split a joined social media account?
You know what? I bet you it has come up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. You would be shocked what comes up in divorces.
Yeah.
Like, the specificity of the minutiae is ridiculous. Yeah.
Do they have any sponsors on that?
I was going to say, once, yeah. If they get like, if they monetize it, that's where it's really troubling.
That's where it's tricky.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's start to segue into talking about our social media this week. And segue that with this little intro created by Chad Shepard.
Baby tweet, survive a tweet. Don't devote your extra vote on the daughter Mark Sheen. Tweets.
Okay. All right.
Is Elder taking a vacation?
Ryan Elder is retired from watching Survivor.
Oh, he's taking a break.
Yes, he's taking a break. So, of course, he composed the original.
Oh, I know. I'm friends with Ryan.
Yes. And so he ended up, I think one of the things he said was it was hard for him to podcast about season 35, that he had a lot of friends on the cast. It made it not fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Because I was, and then I introduced him to people and he was like, oh, no, I know everybody.
Yeah. So they, look, you have to be able to, you know, divide your, you know, there's a, like, I'm friends with people, but I also, you have to talk about the sport of this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when, you know, never meet your heroes, then you can't talk about them anymore.
That's right. That's right. But I do try. Well, it, you know, not that I would, you know, avoid, but I try not to get too, you know, cozy with the people that are on the current season.
Mm-hmm. That's smart.
Yeah. I mean, I try to, and then, you know, sometimes it gets complicated, but
sure.
But I do appreciate it where, you know, as much as I love everybody after the fact, that it does make my life easier to, you know, sort of have like, you know, arm's length then, during the course of the season.
Are you really excited for Dr. Mike to play again then?
Well, those All-Star seasons are.
So then you can keep him at arm's length again?
I can't even tell you how angry Stephen Fishback was with me during the when he went back, you know, that first episode for Survivor Second Chances.
And what happened?
He was trying to break the stick and look for the idol, and he felt like
and it was
he
had a bad
edit. You know, he said like, you should, you know, have my back. And I said, I have to, you know, call it down the middle.
That's tricky. That's really tricky.
I have to be tricky. So, you know, and Spencer and Steven got into it, and then I'm friends with both of those guys. And,
you know, it's not an easy job, Rob, but you do it.
Right, right. And it really, I ended up getting, so, and I said, like, well, you know what? I have to say that, you know, I've been friends with Steven for longer, and people didn't like that as an answer either.
Mm.
So I sort of got, you know, from both sides.
There's
on that.
Literally no winning.
There's no winning. There's no winning. So, you know, that's why let's stick with new player seasons forever.
My personal philosophy is there's no winning on the internet. Mm-hmm. And so, like, even if, like, you could make the best tweet of your life and be 100% right about something, and it doesn't even matter. There's no winning on the internet.
Okay. Speaking of no winning on the internet, Donathan this week, that he tweeted, I guess that he was probably getting some criticism from people on social media. He tweeted out, and I was playing it regardless. Hate to pop the perfect bubble people put us in, but I was trying to take advantage of the twist. But at Tribal, I decided to play it on myself.
Oh, Donathan said that. Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I feel like that a little bit trying to be like, hey, I'm sorry I'm not perfect, everybody.
I know you all think I am.
I'm sorry to shatter that illusion, everybody. I'm the greatest Survivor player of all time.
Exactly.
But even I make mistakes, okay?
Exactly.
Okay. Michael Yerger, at Michael E. Yerger. He's got an extra, for a guy who's got a lot going on, that he's got an extra E there in that Twitter handle.
That seems
Michael E. Yerger.
He couldn't have gotten Michael. Why did he want that?
I mean, let me just make sure that the RJP interns don't have a typo there, but I believe it.
Oh, no, I trust them. Yeah. I just mean, why?
Michael E. Yerger. You know, as much as I don't like the underscore, I think I'd rather have the underscore there. Michael E. Yerger.
What about a period?
I don't think you could do a period in the Twitter handle, can you?
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, Michael E. Yerger said, PSA, my vote against Wendell was not a throw vote. There was a collective plan in place without follow through. Seems like a little shade on Kellen there.
Yeah, Kellen and Laurel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the follow through. Jenna Bowman on Instagram, she said, best experience of my life, hands down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Yes.
I am actually, so even though you couldn't pay me $1 million to date Sebastian, I am very happy that she found him.
They found each other.
Yeah, because I do think that based on how this has played out, she could have been really disappointed. And so I'm happy that she has this out of it.
Yeah, so she feels, she didn't get a big edit, but she got the love of her life.
Exactly.
So she's the winner.
Totally.
She's the winner. Okay. James Lim said, Survivor Ghost Island 2, how about congratulations? You've discovered the Malolo tribe. They were victims of historically bad luck in season 36 and have been stranded here in Fiji ever since. Your job is to get them in a majority for once. Can you reverse the curse?
Yeah, I mean, I think that
curse tribe.
Yeah. I do really enjoy all the like maturing on Ghost Island jokes that mm-hmm. have happened on Twitter. I think there's some really funny ones out there.
Yeah. Brendan Shapiro talked about Michael Yerger. Big things ahead for Michael. He's a great guy, professionally handsome and impossibly savvy for a 23-year-old. Wait, we filmed a while ago. He must be 24 by now.
Good one.
Ashley Nolan, get this. Ashley Nolan 35 says, I can't be the only one that thinks at Dominic _ Abate is a total dreamboat. Get that immunity idol, boo.
I am uncomfortable.
Yeah. And then listen to this.
I don't like. Okay. Sorry. Go on.
Okay. She also tweets a #Survivor, #SurvivorGhostIsland. She uses the #SurvivorGI, but if you read it fast, it looks like Survivor Orgy.
Oh, I think I hear GI and I think like GI track.
Well,
like
I'm just saying that a quick look, I see Survivor Orgy.
Well, her and
hey,
Dom, I don't
I've got
think
the
makes
trademark
an orgy.
On that. Yeah. Look, don't that I that Dominic is a married man, Ashley. Don't get him in trouble.
Yeah. There's a lot of thirst behavior going on.
Yes. Yes. Please. He's minding his own business, just playing Survivor. Don't get him in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. And Bryce Isaiah, who will be on the voicemails with me next week.
Amazing.
Very excited for that. Maybe he can clarify this tweet for us. He says, well, wait a minute. I thought I had my freakiest freak already, but at Michael E. Yerger, I see you. Why is Michael Yerger in contention for the freakiest freak after
this
week?
He didn't provide any reasoning?
No, he gives some emoji. He got a winky emoji and then three crying emoji and then the palm tree.
Laugh cry or cry?
I don't know. You could take a look at that. See if you can decipher that. But next week.
Okay, that's a laugh cry.
Okay, we will ask Bryce why.
Do you think it's the Ponderosa video?
Maybe it was the Ponderosa video.
Because he's like talking about like Libby?
Talking about Libby or the clone
in
video?
In a biblical way?
I don't know. We will find out from Bryce when he joins us on the feedback show.
All right.
Next week.
Another, he's a social worker.
Okay. And then I want to ask one other tweet that I want to ask you about here. This is one that came to my attention from a listener that someone had tweeted out a idea for, like, people do a lot of Brandt Steel. Are you familiar with Brandt Steel? You know what that is?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
But basically, they like do like they make up a tribe, and then there's a device where on the internet that you could simulate whole Survivor seasons.
Okay.
And then they have done a whole season of like these 10 people versus these 10 people. And so, and sometimes they tag
like a simulation,
right? And they tag a bunch of people. And one of the people tagged in this Survivor simulation was your friend, fellow healer, Cole Meadors.
Great, love him.
And somebody had responded and said, "What? No T-Bird? Too many New School people. Give me Jim Rice. Any other suggestions?"
Like, wait, it's a simulator. Can they chill out?
Yes.
That person.
Yes, this was a fan, but Cole jumped in and said, "Hey, they started casting so young because they want a new generation of Survivor players to start pulling from for returnee seasons. People like Ozzy, Malcolm, or Andrea are getting too old to watch."
Oh my God.
And, well, physically, too. So some shots fired.
Yeah.
From someone who's supposed to be healing.
Also, another question.
Yes.
Are those people added by any chance in the tweet? Because if so, that's like... equally, that's like increases the level of disturbing.
I've printed out this tweet. I feel like that Twitter, apparently I might be the only person that's printing tweets. They did not make it easy for me. So Libby, Brendan Shapiro, Stephanie Ray, and seven others were tagged in the photo of the tribes. But Cole is part of this this fake season that's made up. I will say that neither Andrea nor Malcolm or Ozzy are even part of this fake season. So
okay, well, that's good. At least they're not like...
They were probably not tagged.
Okay, so I take... like a significant amount of umbrage with this like line of logic.
Yes.
So first of all, like physically, does he realize who like wins challenge? Like
Ozzy, Malcolm, and Andrea are getting old to watch, and well, physically too.
How old is Andrea's my age? I'm pretty sure.
Well, according to Cole, she's over the hill.
Like he likes Jessica. Is Jessica too old?
I don't know.
And then also, okay, so what's like...
This is a hot take.
That these people are too old?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It is way too hot.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what's like hot and wrong? Because hot, I feel like there is a positive connotation to it. And I want to say this is like a... Oh, this is like a liquid nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, it will burn you, but
so
it's like...
So you're talking about the take, not about coal.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the take is, this is a cold take.
Well, it's a take that will burn you,
mm-hmm.
but it's like,
a bad
it's
take.
Not
this
fine.
Is a, like, this is a bad take.
Yeah.
Ozzy, Malcolm, and Andrea are too old to watch and to play also.
Yeah. The to play part is really the bad part.
Yeah. Look, Ozzy's been through the ringer four times. I kind of.
I mean, he's done just because he has a good life. Like, he doesn't need to be playing Survivor anymore.
Right. I mean, is Malcolm 30?
I don't know. We could Survivor wiki it. But so this is like what's amazing about Cole, I will say, in
yes.
general, is that
yes.
he will say things like this where he'll like come out really hot and you're like, whoa, take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
And then if somebody says, like, hey, that's not cool, he immediately retracts.
He'll go back.
And so the two people that called him out are are Brendan Shapiro and
yes.
my fave, Run Try Mom.
Yes.
Who I only refer to by her handles.
I thought it was Run It Mom.
I understand why you think that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a common misconception.
I would be dyslexic.
So they responded saying, like, hey, like, I think we're pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
they are in the fake season.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's they were added.
Yes.
And so he responds, yes, you two are the exceptions if there are any.
Mm hmm. Yeah.
OK. So, you know, it's like the second somebody complains, it's so I guess if Andrea would like to take it upon herself to respond, I'm sure he would
Sorry,
retract the statement.
Andrea.
And then, of course, though, he responded to that Ashley tweet that you read at Dominic Abate, my hero. Why doesn't he think he's too old to play?
Well, maybe it's by the number of times out there. Maybe it's not the years. Maybe it's the mileage in Cole's mind. Maybe he feels like they've all had three times, four times.
If you think he knows how many times each of those players have played, Rob, you are on the wrong planet.
Look, get it through your heads, Survivor fans. Ozzy, Malcolm, and Andrea, old and busted.
Elderly, dusty.
It's over. Move on. New hotness.
Exactly.
Is Cole. Okay. Rourke, I have one other thing for you here today. I have a new game that we've never before played on the podcast. Okay. Are you interested in such a thing?
I'm very excited.
Okay. All right. This was actually a game that I have to give you credit for being the creator of this game.
Malcolm's now, 30.
Yes, yes. I believe his birthday is May 7th. So happy birthday to Malcolm. Born May 7th, 1986. So 87. Okay.
Oh, so he just turned 31.
Yes. Well, that or will this weekend or Monday.
Tomorrow.
Yes. Yes.
So we're great at this.
Okay. All right. All right. So there you go. So happy birthday to Malk. All right. So you, let's give the backstory on this. Okay. So several weeks ago, you had tweeted and you had been watching Survivor with the captions on for some reason. Why do you watch Survivor with the captions on?
Okay. So this, I really hope no professors of mine from my social work graduate school are listening, but, I, in dull classes will sit in the back and I will watch shows with the subtitles on. And so I'll often miss things, and like, not understand what's happening on a television series, mm-hmm. but that is why I had the captions on. And I talk about missing things. I had literally no idea what was going on because the captions were incomprehensible and it was like absolutely impossible.
Yeah. And I tend to watch a lot of shows that I podcast about, not so much reality, but I do like to watch a lot of scripted stuff with the captions on.
Well, you don't want to miss anything.
I don't want to miss anything. So I do tend to watch a lot of things with the captions on. And now these are not the captions from the TV show, but these are the captions on CBS All Access that we're going to be talking about here in this game. In this game that I almost wrote a theme song to. I'm calling this game Captions Whack. And there was almost a Billy Joel theme song to it, but did not have that kind of time to wand off you up a theme song for this
game.
That's
okay. Today. I understand. Okay?
All right. So we will work on that in the future if this game comes back. Okay. So in the game Captions Whack, I am going to play for you five different lines from the episode.
Great.
And then give you the caption that appeared on CBS All Access for the respective lines. I have freeze frame screenshots of all of them that I can post after the fact to prove that these were all in fact.
Some of them are frankly unbelievable.
I had tweeted one recently, which there was a couple of them in one episode. I forget them all, but I remember one of them was that Dominic was at tribal council and talked about how in this game you never know who's going to go to Ghost Island, and the CBS All Access caption was, in this game, you never know who's going to go to Jerusalem. Like,
okay, so clearly not, there's not a person doing these. It's being run through some sort of like,
but often
software.
Like, names are spelt correctly, so I don't know exactly whether there is a person
human intervention
or software or exactly how it goes, but sometimes they are out there. Okay, so I'm going to play you a clip. And then I'm going to give you the caption that is from CBS All Access. Okay.
I'm really excited. Right.
And some of these clips are going to be a little bit longer, and then it will be like some of these took like two or three screens. So the caption will be not the entire thing, but just the screenshot in question. Okay.
I understand the rules.
This first clip comes to us. This is a clip of Sebastian talking about how it has been very unlucky for the Malolos in the game. Here is the clip.
Yeah, Malolo's been getting the low end of the stick since the beginning of this game, and it just, you know, you have to feel bad for him because...
The caption of this quote says, "The beginning of this game and you have to feel wad for them.
Am I saying just true or false?
No, I'm going to give you five of them.
Okay.
You're going to have to find the one fake one. Okay. Four are real. One is fake.
Okay.
Again, here's the quote.
Yeah, Malolo's been getting the low end of the stick since the beginning of this game. And it just, you know, you have to feel bad for him because.
Okay. Since the beginning of this game, and you have to feel wad for them.
Okay.
Okay. Feel wad for the Malolos. Okay. Number two, okay, this comes to us from when Dominic found the David Wright fake idol.
This is David's authentic fake idol that he used to fool Jay in Survivor's 33rd season, Millennials Gen X.
Wow, this grove actually reminded me of the Millennials Gen X season.
Okay.
Also, he realizes, like, they're filmed in the same place. So, like, it really, really should
it
remind
really
you.
It really reminded me, wow, of that season. Okay. The closed captioning on the screen said, wow, this grove actually reminded me of my lentils versus eggs seasoned.
There's no way that's real. But okay. I'm not going to say that yet. Okay. That's insane if that's real.
Okay. All right. This third clip comes to us. This was Wendell and Dominic talking about who is going to win the immunity challenge and why they will win.
I'm bench watching me right now. I ain't losing.
Green's my lucky color.
Good.
The closed captioning said Wendell told Dominic, Glenn is my lucky color.
Oh my God. Okay.
Glenn's my lucky color. Okay. Also, in that same conversation, Wendell is trying to tell Dominic how long this competition is going to go for.
All right, well, you got to stand up here for another hour to get that neck.
Fine.
Okay. The closed captioning read, well, you got to stand up here for another thunder shower.
The thing is, like, what's really tough about this is that, and because I was thinking back on the one, I was trying to think, like, how crazy was the one that I originally screen capped for Twitter? Like, the syllables don't even match. Like, mine, the one that I captured was Yanuya.
Yeah.
And they filled it with Annabella Sciorra, like an Italian actress. And so, like.
Yes.
There's no R in Yanuya.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I guess I've been trying to figure out how insane those are. And, like, hour and thunder shower aren't, like, that sound is inside there.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. Yeah. But, like, ugh.
Okay.
By the way, I intentionally did not watch with subtitles this week.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. Okay. And then our fifth and final entry in Captions Whack comes to us when we had Michael talk about how Donathan did not want to share his idol with him.
Donathan gave me a pretty plain and simple answer.
The closed captions says, Donathan gave me a pretty Republican and simple answer.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Okay. All right, Rourke.
And only one of those is fake?
Four of those are real. I have the screenshots. I have the receipts.
Holy moly.
Okay.
I'm, like, drawn to a couple of them.
Okay. Talk through. Do you want to eliminate any?
That's really hard. I guess I'm tempted to eliminate. I guess if I literally eliminate the one, are you going to have me talk it through, or are you just going to tell me, like,
game
over?
Whatever you want to do.
I'm tempted to say the Glenn Green one. That one's, like, so close. And I mm-hmm. almost feel like that's the one you made up.
Mm-hmm.
Republican is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I want that one to be real. And I also want the lentil and eggs one to be real. But that mm-hmm. one sounds so preposterous. I'm, like, tempted to leave it in, but it's so insane.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'm pulled between the most insane and then the most regular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to say the one that's fake is the Glenn Green. Oh!
Sorry.
I saw you reaching for it.
I'm sorry. That Glenn's my lucky color is the, in fact, which Glenn is not even a color.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, I guess we could consult, like, Pantone. There
yes,
might be a.
Yes.
uh,
this grove actually reminded me of my lentils versus egg seasoned is the fake one. They did.
I'm kind of disappointed. Yes. I wish that had been real.
I was worried. You were on to me quick.
I was too excited
about
it.
But the real ones were so bizarre that
so bizarre. Also, when you tweeted about it, that I responded to you with just like a hilarious misattribution credited as Jeff. I'm looking, babe.
Yes. Yeah.
Like there's no way.
Right. So this is a fun game. I hope that we can do this more. I will post the screenshots as well.
Get it going.
Of the, cause they are hilarious to then see on the screen.
Yeah. They're really, really jarring.
Yes. Okay. Rourke, we've covered it all. Is there anything else?
No. Let's put this to rest.
Put this to rest.
Let's move our podcast to Ghost Island.
Move it to Ghost Island so we can go mature.
Let's see what it becomes.
Yes. Okay. Do you have a hashtag for this episode of the podcast?
Oh, I wasn't keeping track of things. I mean, we could do like hashtag lentils versus eggs.
People say I have too much lentils versus eggs on this podcast.
That's what I've heard as well.
that's
the word
complaint
on the social media street.
That's a lot of people are on that. Okay. All right. So
what if you just started maybe that could like quell the rioters.
I usually just refer to it as season 33 now.
That's funny.
That's
clever.
That it is hilarious though. The Dominic talking about like, about how that this grove reminded him of that moment.
Grove actually reminded me of the Millennials Gen X season.
Did it really remind you of the Millennials versus Gen X season?
Oh my God. Perfect.
Yeah. I have some other quotes from this episode that we didn't get to. This was Dominic trying to psych out Wendell during the challenge.
I got eight brothers and sisters. We kill each other for the last chicken nugget at the dinner table, Jeff. You understand?
Yeah. That paints kind of a sad picture.
Yeah, I wonder what the dinner table looks like. I mean, I will say I did have a friend growing up who, when they would eat dinner as a family, as you finished, you like got to get up and leave. Mm-hmm. And my friend was such a slow eater that she was always like left alone for like an hour at dinner table after.
Yeah.
So then she became like a really unhealthily fast eater because she had this like abandonment complex.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. This was Sebastian talking about how he had a recipe he wanted to try out.
If we do get another ripe papaya, I think we should do a fruity rice batch.
Fruity rice batch. Have you ever had that? It's like fruity pebbles.
Yeah, I actually think, well, because you can have like mango in rice and stuff. I think that's good. I think he had a good idea there.
I don't know. I feel like that you're overthinking. If you want mango in your rice, there should be like you don't need to cook the mango in the rice. If you want to put mango in your rice, have at it.
But isn't that like a classic like Thai dish?
Oh, I have no idea.
There's like a mango Thai sticky. Trang? It's like a sweet. It's like a dessert.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
If you say so. I had eight other people in my tribe. We would kill each other for the last mango rice.
Exactly. That's more believable to me than a chicken nugget. You can have all of those. I don't want one.
Yeah. And then this was also from the tribal council talking about the predators versus the prey.
Wendell, is this a little bit like animals in the jungle with the predator and prey? They get so good that they can sense when something's off.
Sometimes I feel like that Jeff's analogy is not quite working. And I felt like that this was the case here because isn't Wendell the predator in this case? And I wasn't sure if he was saying that are the predators so good or is the prey so good?
I guess sensing something, because both predator and prey sense something's off. Like predators know who to approach. Like predators know which victims to approach. Like they pick the slowest antelope or, you know, whatever. So like they can sense when a prey is like not going their way. And a prey can like sense when they need to run. And so maybe he was just like, I guess though, if you put like a vague enough metaphor out there, you can just like rely on your cast to like pick it up and take it somewhere else.
Take it somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, look, it's 36 seasons in. Jeff's running out of metaphor. Maybe we could have like some sort of like metaphor think tank of all the different things that Survivor is like. And Jeff could sort of like flip through the Rolodex before a tribal council.
Well, I mean, God forbid that Rolodex gets mixed up with the Bachelor one where it's like everything love is like.
Oh, yeah.
And every place is a perfect place for love.
Yeah.
Love is like jumping out an airplane. Love is like a marathon. Love, it's
that should be a coffee table book. all the things that love is like and all the things that tribal council is like.
That's true.
When you go to law school, find out if we can do this and then we can make this a collaboration and then put these books out.
Great. I'll find out for you.
Yeah. And then we got to put out a Big Brother is like, Love is like, Survivor is like, podcasting is like, and then go on and on and on.
I foresee this being a series with tremendous longevity and success.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll go through the, we'll turn on cable news and then we can have this presidency is like, and then have a whole thing for that.
Oh
and
God,
then,
we could like assemble tweets.
Right. Put it all together. And the this is like coffee table books.
I really like that.
It's not bad. Okay. All right. So, Rourke, such a pleasure to have you here in the studio.
Thank you for having me in your home.
Okay. Of course, Rourke's Tweets is the Twitter account. Is that the same for Insta?
No. So, it's Rourke's Tweets on Twitter and then Revel12, R-E-V-L, my initials. And then 12, my lucky number.
Revel12. Okay. Those are your, you. What do you have? Like a confirmation name in there?
I have two middle names.
Two middle names.
Yeah, yeah. One of them is my mom's maiden name.
Okay. All right. So Revel12, what does the 12 stand for?
12 is my lucky number. I like it because it is like, it can be factored into so many different numbers.
Whoa.
6, 4, 3, 2, 1, 12.
Yes. Okay. What else are you tweeting about here?
I don't tweet a lot. I'll be frank.
Yes.
I like tweet out my rankings. I like Twitter tends to like get my blood pressure up. My premium content is reserved for Instagram pretty much.
Okay. And, how are the power rankings going against Gordon Holmes?
I'm losing.
Yes.
It's not great. Also I need to clear up.
But isn't it embarrassing for Gordon Holmes if he loses at this point that he's done it like 20 times before and then somebody comes in and does it for the first time?
Yeah, I see that argument as well.
Yes.
I think, though, I need to discuss with him the points after last week because we both had Jenna and Michael as our bottom two, but we had them switched. Mm. And so I want to understand if he gave himself more points because Jenna got voted out. Wait, maybe I should argue for more points because Jenna got voted out first and I had her at the bottom.
Yeah, because there was two tribal councils.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure people will be waiting with bated breath to find out the answer to that question. Yeah, and much
I'm not
more.
Even waiting with bated breath.
Okay. All right. Well, Rourke, again, thank you so much. We've got the Wiggle Room coming up on Monday.
I love that.
You like the Wiggle Room?
I do.
I know you're a big Josh Wiggler fan. Do you like the wand off? I like some of it.
No, I do. Some of them are really, really, really impressive. I loved the Navidi one about Bradley.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Navidi. That was really great.
But you don't like music. So that's the
right,
issue.
Parodies are different. Mm-hmm. That's a version of comedy that I can appreciate.
Okay.
But I really love, and I mean, I just wish Nick was with us because it's Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. Yes. Yes. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
To everybody that's out there. Yes. Happy Cinco. All month is really, Seis de Mayo. So it's all happening. All right. So we've got the Wiggle Room coming up with Josh and then Steve and Fishback will be back for the Know-It-Alls. And then we are only 2 weeks away from the finale.
Yeah. It's really,
you're going to go out after the finale?
I don't know. Okay, I don't
you'll
know.
See. You'll
yeah,
see. All right.
I'll see.
Look. That you want to see if Rourke is going to be there, you got to go out.
That's, oh God, yeah, that's really that's, tempting.
That's it. She'll let you know about what happened with Gordon Holmes, and then anything else that you want to know. Okay, all right. So thank you again so much. I thank you guys for making it all the way through. Hey, if you ever want more, Rob is a podcast. If 9 hours of podcast or whatever isn't enough for you, you can always find out more when you go to robiswebsite.com/patron to get even deeper into the Rob is a podcast experience. If you want that kind of abuse, all right. So that's it. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.